Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 1st, 2019. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly with us as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. I'd like to read our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. The first one, do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And you can read the expanded version of these principles of belief on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So we've got quite a few in our chat room tonight. We'd like to welcome all those listening to us live, listening, and as well as those listening to the archives. We appreciate you too. Always good to have everybody. And just as a point of an announcement, next week we're going to switch the radio program time to 1 hour earlier. So instead of 10 p.m. Eastern, it will be at 9 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays, just an hour earlier, so that we can accommodate a few more people after my request for feedback. I think it was last week. Anyway, so just wanted to make sure that everybody remembers that, and I'll announce if I can remember, announce it again before we close this program out. But just remember, next week, starting, what is it, May 7th? What it's going to be, May 8th, it'll be at 9 p.m. Eastern, so just 1 hour earlier.
Yeah, we've had quite a few requests for, earlier times, or certainly we've had a lot of people commenting that it's too late for them, you know, going to bed and working the next day. So I think this time will work just fine. So if everybody would like to know, that's 6 p.m. Pacific time where I am.
Yep, so 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Mountain, 6 p.m. Pacific, and then, of course, there's the converter, the time converter, which I'll have to update on the pages here. But anyway, and also don't forget that this coming Saturday for IMHS and TFU students, we have our graduation, online graduation coming up this coming Saturday, May 4th at 5 p.m. Eastern. It's 9 p.m. Universal Time, Greenwich Mean Time.
2 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah, so 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Mountain, 2 p.m. Pacific. But you can check the countdown timer. If you go to your school, whether it's IMHS or TFU, go to your dashboard and check the countdown timer. And just remember that when that countdown timer gets to zero, that's when we start. So, you know, if your time calculation says it starts in an hour, but the counter is at zero, your calculation's wrong. When that counter gets down to zero, we're starting. So go by the counter, but you can also convert it to your time. All right, so tonight we're going to start off with a 5-card pull from our inner oracle card deck. Dr. Hunter's going to start us off.
Well, I have a little story going on here.
Okay.
And we're just going to see where that story takes us in a discussion. The first card that I have pulled out of my spread is Law of Control, number 5, Power of Belief, number 25, Greatness to Deliver, number 30, Empowerment, number 9, and Communication, number 41. So I'm going to explain a little bit about this. And I think if we, I was kind of, as you were talking it during the introduction, Dr. Kelly, and I pulled these, I thought, I think there is a little story here. And so
great.
Let's talk about the law of control first. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. And it brought a thought to mind. I had a discussion today with somebody, and I was saying how I love quirkiness in people. I love eccentricity, and I love that. I don't like mean-spiritedness. I don't like negative behavior. But, you know, it's that diversity and people being their natural selves. I just had to throw that in. I just find that exciting. So the law of control says you can't change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you're entitled to control, and don't give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave. So again, that's being respectful of individuality and space and you know, not crossing the line, right? But it's also about the power of belief. Number 25, it's the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief. And it means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. So we ponder beliefs to see if they're healthy or unhealthy and then proceed with convictions. But of course, when we look at the power of belief based, you know, from what we've just talked about in the law of control, we behave and control ourselves or others, you know, based on our programming. And that is flexible. That's changeable. Nature is who we're born as. Like, I'm dyslexic, you know, and I'm kind of got that warrior spirit and I love to learn. So there's lots of things that are natural to me, but behavior is something that's quite changeable. But it's what we believe. So the greatness to deliver, when we think about that in individuality, is that everybody has their greatness to deliver. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness, and it does not settle for mediocrity. I think that's really important there too. Greatness goes above and beyond what's common and aspires to a nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember your value. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world. So it's not that we're, I think in a way, you know, the self-study is not about being narcissistic. It's about, you know, how do we contribute and create? And what do we bring out from our nature into the world? And of course, then that takes us right to empowerment, because I think once we kind of get a grasp on that concept we're talking about, then we start to feel a little more empowered. Taking your power back is literally all powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you're whole, you're empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the very best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and, of course, to others in sharing. But, you know, this last little message in this 5-card spread, is it kind of, I think, ties it together, which is about, you know, communication. The most important form of communication is with the higher self. So I think that's really about being true to your nature and your spirit, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Now, again, just to repeat that, if you don't talk with somebody, it's over. That's pretty simple. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and it focuses on a win-win. Communication, of course, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits. And I find it very interesting to note that Fran in the chat room drew a card for tonight, and it is just that, number 41, communication. So if I look at this, the law of control, power belief, greatness to deliver, empowerment, and communication, I think it really is about how you communicate with yourself, learning that you have the ability to change beliefs and that they can flow, and living by your nature, but, you know, what's changeable. Delivering what's naturally in you, but you have to communicate with yourself to know what that is, of course, and that's empowerment. And it takes you right back to the beginning again, you know, between communication, circling to number one, the law of control. So sometimes we have to look at things outside ourselves to know how then to look inside ourselves. You know, we all wish it would be the other way. If we're self-motivated to study the self, then we could look at the outside world. But that's kind of not how we operate. We operate interactively. We're in this together. And rather than, I think you made a comment before the program, Dr. Kelly, about judgment. Before judging others and things outside yourself, observe it. You know, and as you observe it, does that fit for you? We're always choosing our way as we go for what's for what we like, but we also have to look at what's healthy. So that's, to me, the story here. I think it's a great story, great way to launch tonight's program.
Yep, good points, great points. And as far as judgmentalism, I was talking about that a little bit before the program, I guess I'll just briefly say something about it. It's just that so many of us have been judgmental in our lives, some still are. You know, we probably all are to one extent or another. And as I get older, it just becomes apparent to me how fruitless, pointless it is to be judgmental so much, because we tend to, well, we can put others in a poor light while we keep ourselves in an acceptable light. You know how it goes. So, I'm not going to get deeply into it tonight. I'm just going to say, think about that. Try to refrain from being too judgmental with people.
If I can say, rather than judging, kind of, I don't know, admire. as long as what people are doing, you know, we go back to the do no harm, do right. As long as people are not being mean-spirited, you know, harming somebody else, I see all these, you know, I'm just going to say eccentricities or characteristics in people as really fun. It's not to judge them. It's to have fun with that. It's not laughing at them. It's laughing with them. I appreciate the colorfulness of character. Yeah. And there's no room for judgment in that. It's just, that's what makes us all kind of have fun. You know, you just observe that and say, wow, I never thought of it that way, but that's kind of fun. and sometimes it's like, boy, I wish I'd have thought about doing that. You know, I had some lady approach me the other day. She wanted to judge this other girl in the office. I work part-time, you know. And she said, oh, that girl's not here. She wears those false eyelashes. And I looked at her, I said, I know, aren't they beautiful?
Good answer.
You see, because she was wanting to, again, caddy in a negative way. And that's not fun for me.
Yeah.
So it's, if she was going to mention the eyelashes, then say, you know, maybe it's something as simple. Maybe a lot of makeup doesn't work well for some people, but in some people it's beautiful. And okay, but I don't even know why we're talking about it. So That's kind of how I went with it.
Well, you know, judgmentalism can get worse when we take ourselves too seriously. When we take ourselves too seriously, we think it's all about us, and it's not all about us.
Exactly.
It's about all of us. So, you know, we're all trying our best as a rule. And when I talk about not being judgmental, I'm talking about with everyday people. You know, I mean, it's not good to be judgmental of people. They're trying. So many people just don't know any better. They lack awareness. We all lack awareness to one extent or another. And when we become aware of something we're doing wrong, well, we change, you know. And it's just that's the way we are, human nature. And so we don't want to take ourselves too seriously. We don't want to judge others adversely. You know, some people are having a bad day. You know, I mean, and we end up doing things that other people are judgmental about. So Dr. Jennifer said in the chat room, admire diversity. And that's the thing, you know, just embrace the diversity, admire it, give people a break because you know what? Life can be tough and we all need a break. We all need a good word. Michael, you have any comments at this point?
Well, I'd say absolutely embrace diversity. I think that the mind craves diversity. We need different types of people, types of situations, different environments. The human mind and soul crave diversity. It's built into us. And on the topic of the notion of judgment, I was just thinking, you know, everybody is going to make judgments. They're going to make, at times, you know, snap judgments. It's wise to remember that we don't have a way of knowing whether that's right or wrong. Think about all the times you might make a snap judgment about somebody on the road, somebody you're passing by, anything. You'll never have the opportunity to verify whether you were right or wrong. But most people just kind of go along thinking, well, that's who that is, that's how they are. And they build a perception of humanity that I feel is, quite frankly, wrong. It's much more textured, it's much more nuanced. People are not one thing or the other. They're a mixture of things, and it's important to remember that.
You know, I think that there's one thing to have an opinion that can breathe versus a judgment that stops. And I think there's a difference. When we're judgmental, it means we're hard, cold, you know, decided and rigid, whereas I'm entitled to an opinion, but not that it matters because I have a choice whether I want to do that or not. You know, I mean, I don't have to be like other people. There are some things I know I have lots of opinions, but that only means that, no, I'm not going to wear that kind of dress. Or no, I'm not going to do that. But there's other things, that I think we just have to let it breathe sometimes and allow ourselves to be more forgiving, although I don't always like that word, but forgiving of our humanity and our growing. And I would suggest humor. You know, I know we all have our moments, like you talk road rage or something, you know, what'd that guy just do that for? I have my big pet peeves about drivers. But I take it to another place. I very often say, girlfriend dumped him last night. You know, I make up stories in my head about what, you know, what possible reason, you know, somebody was acting badly. You know?
Yeah,
and
that's true. Give him a break.
I'd
give him the benefit of the doubt.
But it also gives me a break so I don't go into this rigid anger.
Because
I don't like myself when I'm like that. I've learned how to let that go quickly. If I get kind of inflamed for a second, everybody gets peed off at times, but you got to be able to let it go. And I let it go with seeing another side with a little bit of humor and take it somewhere else to get out of that emotion. Because that emotion that hangs on to judgmentalism kind of affects the brain, the thinking, the belief systems, your inability to have self-control. And of all the things in the world I can control, that's me.
Yeah, so that's great. So, you know, give people the benefit of the doubt. We can always afford to give the benefit of the doubt at least once. And so if we try to do that, if we try to practice giving people a break, remember the old McDonald's slogan, you deserve a break today? Well, you know, we all deserve a break today. So, you know, try to practice giving people a break and get into the habit giving them a break. You know, a lot of times we'll do something, we'll make some mistake, we'll rationalize it. Well, this was on my mind, this happened, you know, and that's why I goofed up here. Well, maybe we can do that for others too. They're having a bad day. They, you know, something's going on in their life or whatever. Most of the things that people do that we judge them for are really not that big a deal. They're inconsequential. So just some good points.
If I can say, there's a wonderful video going around on Facebook, and it's facilitator puts a whole group of people together, about, I don't know, it's about 50 people, and she starts bringing them up two at a time, introducing them to each other, and telling them where they were connected. Oh, when you were 5 years old, this is the, you know, blah, blah, blah. Another woman, this lady is the one who midwifed you at birth. Oh, and this is the fellow who saved your husband from a heart attack. Oh, and, you know, there's a refugee meeting another refugee from the Second World War. And all their familiarities, and it's so moving. How really, if we think about the quantum entanglement, how we all interact, and intermingle in ways we can't know. Because we're so focused on one thing in our daily lives that the one that you could be judging is the one who could have been the firefighter who put out the fire at your house. Do you know? Yeah. And you don't know that. So it's really extraordinary. And it kind of impacted me to say, this is exactly what we're not remembering. And that's why I love this little vignette film of we are, I don't know, what is that saying about we're only 2 seconds from each other, or so many degrees?
Six degrees of separation, or 3 degrees, or something like that.
So we're all interconnected, and you never know who it is you just sneered at. Oh, you mean that little thing that goes around when the guy in the parking lot gets mad for, you know, fighting over a parking space? He's going in for a job interview, and the guy he fought with over the space is the guy who was he's talking to. He's the interviewer. So you never know, right? So just
well,
be
good.
Nice.
Good point. So let's switch to our inner oracle cards, and there are several who would like a card, starting with Fran. Michael, you want to start us off? Help pull a card for Fran. I think, Vicki, why don't you go ahead and take Fran.
Excuse me.
Michael, I think, was sneezing.
Well, I've got...
You're correct.
I've got a wild card for you, Fran, number 9. The energy at hand is outside the norm because this card is blank. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It's what you need it to be. It's all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within. Now that's a real self-creation moment. You know, it's a very profound card. We don't pull it very often. And, friend, I think that you can just reflect on that as it's a message to you.
You know, that blank card, it just got me thinking. I don't know about everyone else, but back in kindergarten, I don't know if this happened to you the same way, if your teacher did this or not, but, you know, back in kindergarten, we had nap time or rest time, whatever they called it. You know, you had your little mat, and you'd I don't know how long it lasted. I was 5, you know. I don't know how long it was. Maybe it was 10 minutes or 15 or 20. I don't remember. But the thing that I'm getting at is my teacher at the time, she would come around, and she had this little wand with a star on the end, and she would rotate through the kids in the class, and she would choose a child, and she would touch the child's head with this wand, this magic wand with a star. And that the selected child would then go around and wake everybody else up, you know, and then people would start getting up. So I don't know if you had it, but that's what happened to me. And so this blank card, it's almost like, you know, you get this magic wand, this touch, you know, you get your touch with this blank card that whatever you need it to be, it's like a wave, you know, just comes over you, and it you know, it's encouraging, upbuilding, and it just infuses and empowers. That was crazy, but
What a great visualization, though.
But yeah, so you're touched, you know. You could use that with all these cards, too.
Sure, absolutely. Michael, would you be ready to pull a card for Dr. Edward?
Absolutely. I'm all out of sneezes. And I have pulled number 6, Boundaries. This card represents boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, "Who owns me?"
That's a good little reminder. That's a good one. Well, for Wendy, I have number 37, Groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against the facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all the facts and or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when the new facts are found. Staying grounded is it's something we all have to remind ourselves every day to, you know, especially as you're walking in the world, interacting with people, and it's always come back to yourself. You know, never get lost in the outside things. It's always return to yourself. You can hear all the opinions in the world. You can read all the articles, but come back to yourself, whether that's intuition, your own sense of right and wrong, you know, your own ethics. And Wendy just said, interesting, thanks. And I think groundedness is a good reminder for all of us. So that one's for you, Wendy.
Always a good card.
William is next. Michael?
All right. And for William, I have number 31, Sacred Obligations. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only when what is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
Good.
Always a good one.
And I think it's interestingly and well written that any higher being would be have a duty to these obligations, and that makes us think about these dogmatic concepts of a higher power, but also as we move into new technological ages and new realms of thought, life in other parts of the universe, it's logical that they would be ultimately bound by those same sacred obligations given their thought of heightened intelligence and awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and you know, and those obligations, they're just things that we would all do because we're good people, right? We're obligated to not harm one another, kill people, steal things, those kinds of things. Those are all sacred obligations, so good. Who's next?
All right, we have Jennifer. It's nice to have you here today. This time I hope I can read without a cat walking across my lap and sticking a tail in my face. So, I know.
And Jennifer just graduated, too, with her doctoral degree this past week.
Congratulations, Jennifer. So, Dr. Jennifer, that's awesome. Congrats. We got for you number 7, self-mastery, so I guess the timing for that's pretty good. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness. Boy, I think that's a really powerful message that you start this, new chapter for you. I remember when I first graduated, I got a little bit depressed because I missed it. it's like I miss the studies, I miss the challenge, but then you get optimistic about what's next. So you sit and you ponder that, and it's really about knowing who you are and feeling a little more complete every day and moving forward. Jennifer just had perfect card. I really think that is. And again, congratulations, Jennifer. That's awesome. So I think we have, we do have somebody else.
Sherry.
Sherry.
You've got that, Michael?
And I think she's the last one, if I'm not incorrect. So if you want a card and you haven't put your name in, do it now.
All right. And for Sherry, I pulled wild card number 8, freedom.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means that one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Good.
Well, I think that's another big one. We've traveled some pretty significant messages tonight for everybody. So as I'm feeling, and that's good. And for everybody else, especially who's graduating, I look forward to joining up with you on Saturday, and reading off some names and saying hi to you. And again, as Dr. Kelly has mentioned before, get your family to join in, or any of your friends or people who are close to you, and obviously we'll be calling out Jennifer's name.
Yeah, we will, and we have, I think it's 135 graduates this year.
Awesome.
I think it's the most we've had so far.
Awesome.
It's been around that, but this is a few more this time around, so we'll look forward to that. And so remember that if you're a student, even if you're not graduating, if you've already graduated, last year with your doctoral degree, you can still join in and congratulate everybody. There'll be the chat room just like you see right now. Anyway, details are in the dashboard on your respective school at IMHS or TFU. It's at 9 p.m. Universal Time, which equates to 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Mountain, 2 p.m. Pacific Time. And if you are in different time zone around the world, there's a time zone converter. Just remember that when the countdown timer gets to zero, that's when we start. So that's the one you want to go by ultimately. So that's that. That's just Saturday, May 4th. And then also, as we mentioned at the outset, starting next week, this program will be 1 hour earlier. So it will be at 9 p.m. Eastern instead of 10 p.m. So 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Mountain, 6 p.m. Pacific. Did I say that right? So just remember that. 9 p.m., 1 hour
earlier. Pacific?
Pacific, yeah. 1 hour earlier, 9 p.m. Eastern, and I'll get the website updated here this evening so it shows correct. Anyway, we appreciate everybody's time and attention tonight. Thanks to those of you joining in the chat room. Thanks to those of you listening to the archives. Thanks to Dr. Hunter and to Michael. We appreciate you. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.